And our text this morning is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. At its core, the United States of America is a Christian nation. Godly men founded our country. The principles of our country were built on godly Christian principles. The inscription around the Liberty Bell was taken from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, which says, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Our forefathers knew that Christ had made them free, as Galatians 5:1 says. But they also knew that apart from Christ, they could do nothing, as John chapter 15, verse 5 says. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. They loved the Lord and knew him as their Savior. A British governor wrote to the Americans during the Revolutionary War, "If you ask an American who is his master, he'll tell you he has none. And he has no governor but Jesus Christ." The motto of the American Revolution was, "No king, but King Jesus." Isn't that precious? These people during the Revolutionary War, their motto throughout the land was, "No king, but King Jesus." Could that be our motto today? Could everybody out throughout the whole country know that? I don't think so. Perhaps people have been silent far too long. Our nation was built on equality, on godly principles. Carl Sandburg wrote this, "When a society or a civilization perishes, one condition may always be found. They forgot where they came from." The hard beginnings were forgotten. Is that what's happening today? Today we are burning down and tearing down our American history. In fact, American history is not really even taught in high schools anymore. Not the history we had when we went to school. People have been silent far too long. 4 months, you're going to vote. Do you want to vote for the America that we have today, or the America that they want to develop? In fact, I heard someone said it's called, someone say, and I don't forgot the person that said this, American 2.0, the new America. I just got done saying our America was founded around Christ and on godly principles. Sure, there's things that may need to be changed. But we need to look at our country as good and not as bad. Do you want a country that's bad, a country that's bad, 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 or you want to look at our good country as good? Too many look at it as bad. We must not forget that our nation was founded around Christ. We must not forget that we are saved by faith in Christ and it is God's gift to us. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior should be praising God that we know that. It is God's gift to us. That's what the Scripture tells us. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." For every one of us to know Jesus Christ, that is a gift of God that he has given to us. And we need to praise him for that. What do we believe and what do we worship? We are to worship the one who is truth and tells us that truth will set you free. Christ our Lord is truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We shall know Christ. and Christ will set us free. And we need to praise God for that. We take that for granted. Each and every day, as thoughts come to us, we should be praising God that we know Jesus and that we are free. First, we come to Him as our Savior, and then we are to live with Him. We are free from the penalty of sin and do not need to worry about going to hell because we know Jesus Christ. He asks us to trust in Him and to let Him live His life through us. That is such a very important point. We're to let Him live His life through us. It's so very important that we just don't believe in Jesus, that we grow beyond that. And we allow Him to live in us and through us. We need to impress on people the greatness of our Savior. When we sow to God's glory in Christ, we will reap the fruit of people in the awe of God's greatness and goodness. Isn't that precious? As we sow to the goodness of Christ to other people, we will reap people that know the greatness and goodness of Christ, of God. And they will be in awe of that. We should all be in awe of God's greatness and goodness. God is eager to work through us. We need to magnify the greatness of God. In Psalm 145, verse 3, it says this: "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and greatness, and His greatness is unsearchable." Unsearchable. His greatness is so far beyond our imagination. And we need to have a big God. This is the starting point of our worship. We need to know the greatness of our God. When we occupy our mind with cares and worries and concerns of life, we are viewing God as small because we're overwhelmed with all these cares and these worries. What's going on around us? God is not small. He is great. In Psalm 34, verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." God needs to become bigger in our eyes. We need to magnify the Lord our God. But before we can magnify Him to others, He needs to be magnified within us. We can't tell someone else how big God is if He's not big in our own lives. We stand before people who, like us, tend to forget who God is and why He is so worthy to be worshipped. How do we magnify the Lord? Well, God has given us the book of Psalms to help us. In Psalm 56, verse 11, it says, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me." In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps." The first part of that is so very important, and it's where we all fall short. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." That's what we all need to do. We need to trust in Him. And if we trust in Him, we're not going to be worried about what's all these little things happening around us. We'll give them to Him. Where He can perform miracles, like we've heard today about how He performed a miracle with getting people out of a car and living. In Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works." God is merciful. The greatest of all God's works is the giving of His Son at the cross of Calvary. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The cross is our worship, is the beginning of our worship place. It's crucial for us. The cross stands for all that was accomplished through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The cross stands for his life, for his death, and his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, we have the very gospel we're to share with people. For I deliver to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Our Savior died for our sins, was buried, and is risen today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is a people that went around preaching the very word of God, given to him by the Holy Spirit. And he says, I preach Christ crucified and risen. The cross of Christ and faith in Christ gives us access to God. Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Christ is risen today and at the right hand of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 are important verses. Now, down the road, I'll be preaching on the first 5 or 6 verses. But 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does verse 2 say? Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God and we have access to the throne of God. That's what we read here. Because we know Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of God. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. We can have boldness when we come before the throne of Almighty God because we know and believe in Jesus Christ. And you believe that? You can have enough faith to come to God and plead with him like Abraham did. You can have enough faith to come to him and ask him for things and ask that his will would correspond with your will, or your will should correspond with his. As it says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. As we delight ourselves in him, his desires will become our desires as we pray. Through faith in Jesus, we have access to God, and Jesus has atoned for our sins and has torn down the veil that separated us from God. In the Old Testament, it was a veil that separated them, the people from God. That veil has been torn down. We can come before the throne of God because we believe in Jesus Christ. There is no veil between any one of you. You don't have to go to somebody else to pray. You can go right to the throne of God yourself. And there's no precious and special way you need to pray. You pray from your heart. And you talk because God knows your thoughts before you express them. And you just express to God what's on your heart. You should pray in the name of Jesus because it says in John 16, 24, until now you've asked for nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be made full. So Jesus does want us to pray in his name. But we can pray any way we want. We come before a holy and almighty God because we have access. And he hears our prayers because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Christ's work on the cross assures us that our worship is acceptable to God. The ultimate factor in our worship is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2:5 it says this, you also, as living stones, are being built up, a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Every one of us is a living stone. That's what the Word of God says. We have the rock, Jesus Christ, in us. I had a text sent to me last night at midnight. I will respond to it this morning. About how it is God that goes with us. It's Christ that goes with us. It's Christ that gives us power. And I responded to him and said, yes. I responded Galatians 5:1. I responded John 8:32. And I responded John 15:5, where it says, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Which went right along with what he said to me. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Every one of us needs to know that. When we go out this door, Christ is with us. Just like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in us, and we praise God for that. And if we're not, we should be praising God for that. Ephesians 2:18, that through him, that's Jesus Christ, all believers have access in one spirit to the Father. That's where access comes from. It is the Holy Spirit that initially opens our eyes to see our sins and cause our hearts to trust in Jesus Christ for complete forgiveness. We need to have dependence on the Holy Spirit. God the Father had the plan for our salvation. God the Son, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty for our salvation by dying for our sins on the cross. And God the Holy Spirit brought us to saving faith by revealing the Word of God to us, revealing Jesus Christ to us and our need for him. And God the Holy Spirit keeps us and protects us today. We need to have a thankful heart. In a heart of gratitude for all that God has done for us and is doing for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We should be rejoicing him always. Psalm 31, verse 23. Love the Lord, all you his saints. All you his saints should be loving the Lord. We should be shining with the brightness of Jesus Christ in us. Psalm 100, verse 2, which we read this morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are we serving him and loving him? Can others see it in us? Do they see it in us? Good question, isn't it, Wanda? Psalm 34, 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We taste by being in the Word of God and seeing what him work in our lives. Knowing how good he is. If we're not in this Word, we have nothing to share probably. Unless it's an answer to a promise. Answer to a prayer. We need to be in the Word of God. Oh, how we need to be in his Word. God is faithful. God is gracious. Loving, compassionate, and his mercies never fail. God's love for us is not conditional. Even when we are not loving him, there may be a time when we may be upset. He still loves us. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour your heart out before him. God is a refuge for us. We need to magnify God's greatness. We need to magnify his greatness so others can see it. Just like what was said today, that seeing the greatness of God in nature and expressing that greatness. We do this so that we might hear on our last day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you believe in Jesus? May I ask you, are you his servant? Are you serving Christ, your Savior, your Lord, and your God? Are you letting Him live His life through you? Have you surrendered your life to Him? We're free in Christ, as it says in Galatians 5:1. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. John 15:5. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise You and thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You, God, for what You are doing and have done in our lives. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We thank You, God, for loving us. We thank You, Heavenly Father. We thank You, Jesus Christ, and we thank You, the Holy Spirit. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.